It really is such a joy to be here singing and praising God together, and especially after being cooped up for 3 weeks in isolation, just to see everybody, what a joy. But the angel, when he announces the birth of the Lord Jesus, he doesn't just say, this is a bit of good news. He doesn't even say, this is joyful news. He says, this is news of great joy for all mankind, for all the world. And what I hope I can share with you in just a few minutes is why the birth of the Lord Jesus is such a joy, is such good news for all of us, for the whole world. I'd like us really to just think for a few moments about one of the verses that we heard in Matthew's Gospel. And it said in verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, God with us. A few years ago, I can remember reading in the newspaper an article about our current queen, Her Majesty Elizabeth II. May the Lord bless her. And this article was wondering, how will she be remembered, you know, in the years to come? And he suggested the title, Elizabeth the Steadfast. And I thought, that's really wonderful, isn't it? And especially the last year, when you think about the funeral and the Duke of Edinburgh and how she served us, Elizabeth the Steadfast. Well, and down through the centuries, there have been a few kings and queens who are so notable, we know them by some special title. There's Alfred the Great, my favourite. There's Frederick the Wise. There's Mad King George. And these titles have stuck to them because they capture the spirit and the essence of who they were and of their rule. But what we are being told in Matthew's Gospel in this wonderful verse is our Lord Jesus' royal title, his royal name. What characterizes, what is the spirit of his reign as the king? He is Emmanuel. He shall be called Emmanuel. His people, those who are blessed by him, who know him, under his rule, they will call him Emmanuel. He is Jesus, Emmanuel. Our Lord's personal name is Jesus, as we also were told. That comes from the name Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. But he also has this title, Emmanuel. You could say it's his throne name. You know how even today, some kings and queens, when they actually step into the office, they take on a new name. There's rumours Charles might do that, you know, that he might become known as Philip, perhaps, or something like that. Well, this is our Lord's throne name. Now, this is the good news. Jesus is king. He's king of kings. He's Lord of lords. He is now, he's alive now, and he's reigning, not just here on one nation on earth, but in the heavens, he is in charge and ruling over everything. It's just that most of the world doesn't know it yet. But he is Lord. And here's the wonderful thing about his rule. He is Emmanuel. That's what he's all about. Now, Emmanuel is a Hebrew word. I'm going to turn you all into Hebrew scholars. And it simply means, as Matthew helpfully tells us, God with us. God with us. God not against us, but God for us. God not hidden and mysterious and unknown, but God speaking to us. God not far off, but God coming near and drawing near to us. And as you heard, Matthew is actually quoting there from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, 600 years before the birth of Jesus, gave us this promise of a virgin birth, which would be a miracle. There would be a sign to say, this child is the special one. This is the one that it's all about. So there's a good reason to believe that Christianity is true. Such a thing was predicted 6 centuries before, and it came to pass. A miracle of a virgin birth. But I really just want to focus on this word Emmanuel. Why it is so wondrous, so wonderful. This is the great joy, Emmanuel. Very simply, think with me of these 3 words. God with us. Think about first, God. God. I often meet folks in conversation and they tell me they don't believe in God. And when I'm feeling bold enough, confident enough, I say, which God? Which God do you not believe in? Because very often I find that people then talk about some stereotype idea they've got of God that I don't believe in either. You know, they think he's, you know, just some weak, harmless old man with a white beard sitting up on a cloud somewhere. Or they think that he's some kind of vague spirit that's just floating around and is in everything somehow. But none of that is the God of the Bible. God who's really revealed himself and spoken to us who he really is. It's not the awesome God of the Bible. The God that this verse is speaking about. We've got to look to the Bible to really know him and who he is. And what does the Bible then say? Well, he's holy. He's holy. He's eternal. He is all-powerful. He's perfect. He's all-knowing. He's all-good. He's the creator of all things. He is unchanging. He is transcendent. That's a fancy word for saying he's just above everything. There's nothing you can really compare him to. He's so awesome. He's so awesome. He spoke the whole universe into existence. And you know, one of the reasons we sang Psalm 113 is because it says in that psalm, God is so great that when he wants to look at the universe, it's a bit of a picture, but he says it's like he has to stoop down to look at it because he's so great. We're beginning to understand, aren't we, how big the universe is. But it says nothing compared to how awesome the living God is, so greatly to be reverenced and adored. He's in control of time, space, all things. And he's completely good. Again, it's so hard for us to try and imagine that because we don't know anything in this world that's completely good, but he is completely good, purely good. There's not one drop or hint of anything cruel or evil or dark in him. He's pure love. He's righteousness. It's impossible that he would ever lie or ever do anything wrong. And he's a God so good, so holy, the Bible says if anything evil tries to come near him, it will just get burned up, consumed by his awesome goodness. You know, even in the Bible, when people encounter him at a distance to protect them, God hides himself either in smoke or he allows them to see just a little glimpse of his glory. And even that is enough to make people fall down to the ground. And they say, I'm undone. He lifts his finger. The mountains melt. God. Let us have the right understanding of how awesome God is. But then consider with me the us, you and me and all mankind. And then it's really quite a frightening contrast. Again, the popular belief of our time is we should all believe that we're all so amazing and so awesome, there's nothing we can't do. That there's no limits to anything, to our potential. There's no limits to our greatness. You know, you're so special, believe in you and... But then the Bible just brings us back down to earth with a bump. because it reminds us of the truth. We're created, we're creatures. We're small, we're limited. We're here today, gone tomorrow. We know hardly anything and we understand even less. The Bible often compares us to being like the grass or flowers. That we spring up, you know, in the first flourishes of youth and we're beautiful and full of energy. And then it's like the wind blows and oh so quickly we just wither away. In the vast scope of the universe, we're pretty insignificant really. We go from being so helpless as a baby, we need to be fed, changed, and even help to get to sleep. And then in a few short years, we need help to be fed and clothed and to get to sleep. Man is but a breath. But then even more challenging than this, we're sinners. I know that's an old-fashioned word, but it's a good word. It simply means we're not right with God. That we've all done things that we know are wrong. God has revealed very clearly and plainly how we should live in his world. And not one of us have done it. We're all guilty. Naturally, there's not one of us right with God. We're ungrateful. We're unthankful. We don't acknowledge him and worship him as we should. We've broken his commandments. We don't want him telling us how to live. Quite happy doing things my way, thank you. The gifts that he gives us, every good thing you have is from him. But we tend to use it selfishly instead of sharing it. The haves take from the have-nots. And the Bible says, though, that really, in our hearts, we know, all of us know, that we've all messed up. We've all done wrong. If you just examine, you know, all the thoughts that run through your mind in one day, how many jealous, hateful, selfish things run through. And because we are sinners, against this holy God of love, there's judgment. Because he's good. He doesn't just turn a blind eye, you know, sweep it under the rug. It's okay, you just live how you want. He can't do that, he's good. He's pure. So this is God, that this one word Emmanuel is speaking about, and this is us. So how amazing is this word with? To bridge such a gulf, such a gap between man and God, that God is with us. This is astonishing. This is breathtaking. Last couple of years, the family and I have loved going over to Wales on holiday. And you know, you drive across that big Severn Bridge. I think it's about 1,000 meters long or something like that. And the first time, my kids were like, wow, this, you know, this is amazing. This bridge, look how big it is. I looked up this week, the world's biggest bridge. It's somewhere in China and it's 100 miles long. Which is ridiculous. You know, it's so big you can't see the end of it. Oh, but this bridge between God and us, that Jesus is such a bridge. Wow. Do we really begin to feel the weight of this name, Emmanuel? That so holy a God comes to such lost people as us. This word with is a life-changing word. This is God coming to us. Jesus coming to us. Holy God to lost man. This little word with tells you how wondrous God's love is. How amazing his grace is. God could have written us off, you know, just left us to it. Could have condemned us as sinners. But he has not. In love, Christ comes to save us. This little word with tells you he's on a mission of mercy. God's not let go of us. He's clinging to us. Again, so many people, they've got this idea of God that he's harsh, uncaring, distant. You know, a bit like a stern head teacher. He's not. He's a loving and gracious father. And in love, sends Christ to be with us. This little word with, it tells you it's God's initiative. Jesus is God reaching out to you. So many people think religion is you reaching out to God for you to search for him and find him, or being a good enough person, doing enough religion and ritual, you'll climb up to God. That's all wrong. The good news is it's God reaching down to us. That's Jesus. That's the with. This little word with tells you about God's power to bridge this gap. That Jesus was born, the Son of God, come to earth. It's the most astonishing miracle of all. God, who is eternal and infinite, joins to himself a human nature to come and be one of us, to live amongst us. He comes to deal with our sin. He comes to take our place. That the judgment, the consequences of sin come on him, and he dies for us on the cross. And in his power, he brings us together. And he reconciles us. His power is he's raised up from the grave. And he's living now in heaven. He came down to us so that he could lift us up to be with him. This little word with. It's astonishing. It's amazing. And he gives. He gives this eternal life to whoever calls on him. Whoever turns to him, to Emmanuel, and believes in Jesus Christ. He gives this amazing salvation and life. This is the news of great joy. This is wondrous. This is amazing. And I pray that, you know, perhaps in some quiet moment, amidst all the busyness of the next week, and you might have a quiet moment when you might think about this word with. That you might, in your own heart, turn to the Lord Jesus and say, be with me. I want you to be with me and in my life. And I want to know you as this wondrous Savior. And you will find he'll be there. He will be with you. One very, very final word. I had the immense privilege this week of speaking to Gordon's father on the phone. Truly a man of God, and perhaps now in his last days. And we've been praying for him as a church. And he's now confined to his bed up in Scotland, and had a wonderful time talking with him. But he said, just when we were saying goodbye, he says, just one thing, just hang on. I just want to share with you. And he said to me, you know, life, I tried to write it down as best as I could. He said, you never know what strange turns life's going to take. What twists and turns there could be. Certainly, as we think of him, I'm sure there are others. You know, we think of our loved ones that perhaps we can't be with, or those we know who may not be with us anymore. And he said, you know, difficulties can come and be long lasting. He said to me, we never know what may come. But oh, we know the one who is with us. Isn't that wonderful? We never know what may come, but we know the one who is with us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, may that be good news to you. That he's with us. Let us pray together. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful title that our Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, that he is God, that he is God with us. Come to reveal your love to us. Come with power to save us and to bring us back to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that this precious name and title would be in our hearts this Christmas. And help us, we pray, to trust in him. We give you, O Lord, all the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.